Welcome to Canada Conversations, part of Delaware Debates 2020, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. I'm Delaware Public Media News Director Tom Byrne. This conversation focuses on the race for U.S. Senate, and we are joined by Republican candidate James DeMartino. Thanks for joining us, James.
Thanks, Tom.
So we'll start with, why did you decide to run for U.S. Senate?
I decided back in January of this year, after reviewing and hearing Senator Coons's interview, actually the confirmation hearings of Judge Kavanaugh. And when I heard Senator Coons say he's guilty and needs to prove his innocence, that just, it turned my stomach. I'm an attorney. I'm a practicing attorney. When I hear a senator say something in total opposition to our judicial system, to our U.S. Constitution, I was just... I was flabbergasted about it, and I couldn't let that stand. So that's what made my decision. You know, our judicial system is based on everybody is innocent until proven guilty. And so that's why I'm running for U.S. Senate, to defeat Senator Coons, who is in direct opposition to our judicial system.
So you mentioned that you are a practicing lawyer. What else should voters know about your qualifications for this job? Perhaps maybe something they wouldn't already know or find out quickly by a Google search.
Certainly. My background and what makes me qualified to be a U.S. senator, I've been a U.S. Marine Corps officer for over 15 years. I've been an intelligence officer in the Marine Corps for that period of time. So I've worked at the National Defense, the intelligence community. After I left the Marine Corps, I went to work for different corporations, also working in the intelligence community. And then I was a program manager supporting the Department of Navy in their advanced weapons systems development. So I have a technical background, legal background, an intelligence background, and very familiar with the different agencies as a U.S. government. Also, as a practicing attorney, I practice both some criminal work, and my favorite is intellectual property and copyright, protecting young artists' creative talents and their rights as in accordance with those talents. And finally, I've been a business owner as a practicing attorney and growing up in a small family-owned business. So I understand business, I understand law, and I understand the military and national defense, all very important for the U.S. Senate. As I always say, the three most important subcommittees or committees in the U.S. Senate is the Senate Judiciary Committee, Senate Committee on Intelligence, and the Armed Services Committee. So again, I have qualifications to be a U.S. Senator in those aspects.
Let's talk about some issues. Let's start with just how well you feel the federal government, specifically Congress, has done in responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. And if there are no vaccines or established treatments for the virus by the end of the year, what would you want Congress to prioritize in an ongoing response should you be elected?
With the entire COVID crisis that we've encountered over the past 15, 20 weeks, we haven't been prepared for this type of attack. It's a biological attack. And the way it's spread and our lack of preparedness, our lack of supply chain, and especially the pharmaceuticals not being produced here and readily available to Americans, that needs to be priority going forward. I do expect the vaccine to be ready before the end of the year. And how that's distributed, that's another issue, and administered, et cetera. But I'm sure that will be taken care of by the end of the year. What we need to be concerned with is future aspects of, like I said, biological attacks, other viruses. Cities, both in Delaware and throughout the country, were not prepared. As I said, logistically, pharmaceutically, even with physicians' availability. Thank God for the nurses and doctors that are on the front line. I commend them. They're protecting us. It's the supply chain and the backup that we need to be prepared for. Here in Delaware, one of my aspects that I want to pursue, we have a lack of doctors to begin with in Delaware. That needs to be rectified. We need to either bring more doctors in currently, or we need to, my initiative, I would like to see a medical school here in Delaware, and that will be an initiative that I will pursue. Also, again, manufacturing needs to return to Delaware, create jobs for our citizens, and we can do that. We can in course, you know, collaboratively between jobs, manufacturing, and the pharmaceutical industry or the medical industry.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about jobs, because obviously the pandemic has thrown the country into a recession, high levels of unemployment. What role can Congress play in getting the economy back on track, especially if the pandemic lingers into 2021, or at least the after effects of it?
And that is going to be the significant, other than the medical preparedness and recovery from medically, we need to recover our economy. We had the most vibrant economy prior to this COVID crisis. And we had the lowest unemployment rate. We had the highest economy, best economy in years. That needs to resume, obviously. The way to go about that, again, is supporting our small business owners and our family-owned businesses, as a lot of the stimulus packages or the recovery packages are trying to provide, whether it's loans or other incentives to maintain their employees, which is significant. We have to do that. But going forward, we need to reduce regulations and restrictions on businesses to return to their former prosperity. It was, as I said, it was booming. Here in Delaware, we have taken a hit and going to continue because, especially in Sussex County, the beach community and tourism has been devastated. And it's going to take a long time to recover for that. But we must support our small businesses. And again, going back to manufacturing, we need to return to manufacturing in this state.
The country has simultaneously seen protests throughout the spring and summer focused on issues surrounding racial equity. And the topics of debate on that have run a pretty wide gamut, from removal of monuments and renaming sports teams all the way to police reform and addressing racial disparities in areas such as education and housing. What do you believe Congress's role is in addressing some of these issues surrounding racial equity?
Well, first of all, it goes back to the heart of why I'm running for the U.S. Senate. Justice is blind, and we need to enforce our system of laws. You know, I want to be my priority, my mantra for this election really is law and order. We need to return to our laws and enforcing them. And again, as I said, justice should be blind. Regardless of race, creed, color, religion, anything, we must enforce our laws, and all people need to abide by our laws. There shouldn't be any complacency in that. And I'm really disappointed in many of our government officials, elected politicians, because they're not doing that. And that will lead to anarchy, as we see over this past couple of days in Chicago, in Portland. We need to enforce our laws and protect our citizens. From the congressional side down to the local politician, the priority is to protect the safety of our citizens, the health and welfare of our citizens. And I think that has been neglected over this entire period. So from the congressional side, the senatorial side, we need to review the regulations for business. We need to improve. I know additional recovery packages are being trying to be approved through Congress to provide money to the small businesses. That's significant. To go into all the other issues, you know, we need to get back to our work ethic. We need to get back to the family structure and stop all this identity politics and divisiveness amongst every group of individuals. We are Americans here in Delaware. We are Delawareans, and we need to protect each other and work together for again, peace and prosperity among all Americans. And that's what I will look towards in the legislation and regulatory policy.
Do you feel, kind of based on what you're saying, I feel like, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you feel like some of these things are more local issues. They're more municipalities, state government. To me, there's not as big a role for Congress in terms of addressing some of these issues of racial equity?
Well, I think the initial review and the initial application of those resolutions do need to be down at the community level. When we talk about, I support all our law enforcement, but reform needs to start at the local level, because that's where the police officers are trained, the firemen, the EMT, everybody works together to resolve the local issues. That's where the problem is. You know, the national level, they should only be involved with national issues in the way it's applied across the board. And then the governors and city mayors, as you go down the chain of command, that's how it's applied. And they can, as they do in everything, business. You know, the federal government has the overall code, but then the states and local municipalities will impose their own laws and regulations as it should be applied to them, because everybody's situation is different. Whether you're at the beach or the mountains or a ranch out in Texas, everybody has different requirements, and they should be applied differently, because that's the way it would be fair and just. But from a system of laws, as I said before, the law must be enforced and applied equitably across all Americans and all Delawareans. And, again, going back to the cause of the problem, yes, it's education. It's the family structure. It's code of ethics and morals and work habits. Everybody deserves the respect and dignity of providing for their family and providing for themselves, and that's what we must allow. And again, it's a trickle down in regulatory aspects. The federal government must maintain their responsibilities and roles, but again, we have to hold our local politicians responsible for the peace and security, safety of neighbors, of our families, et cetera. And that's through our police force, and they must be supported.
So the pandemic and protests have pushed a lot of other issues that we likely would have been talking about during this election cycle kind of to the side, things like healthcare, immigration, climate change. Is there any one of those issues you feel needs to be addressed with some urgency by the next Congress?
Well, I think we have to go back to healthcare as being a priority. The cost of healthcare has gone out astronomical. People still are without coverage. Small business owners can't afford coverage for the employees. Between the deductibles and the premiums, it's very difficult to maintain profitability in a small business. And that's the backbone of our economy. 95% of employees work for small businesses, and we must protect that and maintain it. So healthcare is, I think, one of the number one issues going forward. If we still continue with this divisiveness and violence in our streets, basically national security. I mean, if we're not secure at our national level, whether it's our borders or internally, everything else is going to take second place. And we have to be safe and secure first. But again, healthcare is paramount, in my opinion.
You mentioned national security, and a big part of that is foreign policy as well. What do you see as the biggest foreign policy issue facing the country, and what should Congress be doing to address it?
Well, and that's really a role of the Senate, because again, one of the two main functions of the Senate is, one, confirming justices, both at the Supreme Court level and the federal court level, but the other is ratifying treaties negotiated by the president and his administration. But the international community, our biggest threat, and as we see over these past 15, 18 weeks of the COVID, is China. China and Russia are still opposition to our national interests, and we need to be aware of their positions, of what they're doing, and we have to counter that. And specifically with China, as I mentioned earlier, we need to return manufacturing to the states. We need to bring our jobs back, our corporations back, and provide first and foremost for our citizens. And like I said, China has too much production under their control that is vital to our interests.
You mentioned Russia as well, though, and I'm curious what you feel about how the country needs to address Russia, and what we've talked about mostly over the last 4 years is their meddling in elections.
Yeah, every foreign country has their own best interest in mind, which is understandable. They are sovereign countries, and we are a sovereign country. We must have our own interest in our best interest and look forward to that. We have to understand all the foreign countries, understand their requirements and initiatives. With Russia, we have to be strong and combat them at every corner. We negotiate. I am not one that looks forward to combative measures, even though I was in the Marine Corps. I'm trained to understand that. As we say, nobody wants to fight, but somebody has to know how. And that's what we do. And I've also talked with a lot of the combat veterans who come back, and I ask them, what did you think about being over there? And they would say, we should never go to war again. And they understand the violence, the atrocities that occur, and the death and destruction. And we want to avoid that at all costs. And I believe that. And that's why diplomacy is the number one position that we should always take with all friends and opposition internationally. So that's my point. We need to negotiate. We have to understand what their requirements are and our requirements, and we negotiate to our benefit. Again, in the business environment, I've negotiated contracts for over 20 years, and you want to come out with a win-win situation. And that's my point. We want a peaceful world, but we have to understand everybody's position, and we must take our position first and negotiate for our interest above all else.
One of the things we've heard a lot about over the really five, almost 10 years now, is how things aren't getting done in Congress. And one of the things that's kind of come back up recently to perhaps remove an impediment from things getting done in the Senate is the filibuster, and perhaps doing away with the filibuster. Would you be for getting rid of the filibuster? Why or why not?
No, I think it's been a practice that has worked, and both sides have taken advantage of it. So again, to eliminate it at this point, I think, is, again, another knee-jerk reaction, and I don't believe in it. I don't believe in doing away with it at this time. You know, everybody, whether you're the majority party or the minority party, you try to negotiate in your best interest, going back to negotiations at all levels. And we just have to, you know, Congress hasn't gotten anything done because we've become so polarized between Republican and Democrat. That's what needs to end. It's not filibuster. It's not this practice or whatever. We need to work together as Americans for America. And we have to stop this partisan political process and look at our citizens' best interests. And that's what my interest is going into the Senate. Of course, my basic principles are Republican. That's why I'm running as a Republican. But national interest and our citizens and our basic principles of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that is what is paramount, and that's what we should work together for.
Is there an issue we haven't discussed you feel is not getting the attention it deserves in this election cycle, and how would you like to address it if you're elected?
You know what does it? It does come up, but in a negative aspect. And I'm going to talk about the media. You know, I've talked to people, Democrats, Republicans, citizens, family, everybody. We've lost the truth in media. And people have turned off whatever stations you may watch, cable or national networks, they've lost their faith in the media. And I think that is, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of press is a constitutional, you know, right. And we need to get back to that. But it's no longer taking a side and projecting that agenda, promoting that agenda. We need to get back to investigative reporting and reporting the facts. You know, just like any incident every day, people question, as I said, the people I speak with, we question the truth. You listen to one station, you hear one thing, you listen to another station, you hear something else. We need to get back to factual reporting and let the people decide for themselves. Get a balanced approach and let them decide. I believe in the American people and the responsibility they hold both to themselves and to this country. And we must allow them to make that decision. That's why we have elections. That's the way to change what's going on. Have the candidates, the opponents, explain their positions, and let the people decide. We cannot manipulate the agenda, the perspective, the ideas that are going out there. They should all be out there, and I believe in the people will make the right decision.
James DeMartino, Republican candidate for U.S. Senate, we thank you for your time on Candidate Conversations.
Thank you very much, Tom. Have a good day.
And we remind you that you can find all of our candidate conversations online at DelawarePublic.org and DelawareDebates.org. Candidate Conversations are part of Delaware Debates 2020, produced by Delaware Public Media in collaboration with the University of Delaware's Center for Political Communication. Thanks for listening.